Well, life on the farm are kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. Tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woohoo!
Yes, sir. Once a month now, we are checking in with our good friend and farmer in Jay, Florida, Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. Hey, I have at least one thing I wanted to follow up with you on, because you and I had talked previously about this right to repair concept, the ability of farmers to work on their own equipment instead of having to wait for somebody from, you know, Equipment Central to come down and fix it for them, and the time that it takes to wait and all of that. And apparently Colorado has just become the first state in the nation to pass a right to repair law, which sort of seems to be in line with what you and that organization you were working in D.C. Wanted to accomplish. Is this good news? Is this a step? What's your take?
It's a step. I think that the Right to Repair Act is it's very complicated. It's not something that's easy. You know, the companies that make this equipment, they have all their proprietary stuff in there. And then, of course, farmers being who they are, they want to always be able to repair their own stuff to save time, to save money, all those issues. I think it's a complicated thing. I think that the Right to Repair bill is a good place to start. It's a good foundation to build on. I think there's going to be a lot of, all right, let's put this out there for a year. Let's look at it. Let's revisit. Is this working for both sides, for the farmers and for the companies that are building the equipment? You know, I think it's something that's just going to kind of be a work in progress. I think it's good to have everybody at the table talking this stuff over, working these issues out, and I think all in all, it's going to be a very positive thing for agriculture.
It will seem like a good step, and as you say, I mean, you know, you try to fix these things, you see how it works, you tinker, you see how it works. I mean, you know, that's true in the machinery and in the farming and in the legislation too, so let's hope that it works out for the better. What are y'all working on these days? You getting ready to plant peanuts today or tomorrow or this week at all?
You know, last time we spoke, I was hoping that we would already have several hundred acres planted by now of peanuts and cotton, but I know most people might not feel this way, but it's actually been a lot cooler than it typically is. The conditions just haven't been right. The soil temperature for peanuts, it needs to be 65 degrees or higher, 4 inches deep, for at least 3 days in a row at 8 o'clock in the morning. I know that's a lot of information, but for ideal planting conditions, that's what it needs to be. And we've just, you know, we'll get it for a day and not have it for two, or it'd come a rain or whatever. So now by the calendar, we're going to have to go ahead and start regardless of what it is, because, you know, when we plant these peanuts, we know pretty much how long it takes to grow them, between 135 and 150 days. After planting is when we'll dig them. So we have to look at what time that's going to put us in the fall digging and still have time to harvest our cotton and soybeans as well. So we're kind of getting on the calendar schedule now. Now we're starting to feel that pressure. Hey, we've got to get it no matter what the conditions are. So this week there will be a whole lot of peanuts and probably cotton put in the ground, you know, planted for the year.
So, okay, I'm going to ask you my dumb, you know, city boy questions.
That's what I like.
Yeah, when you plant peanuts, I assume by machine, not by hand, but that you tell me. And then what exactly do you plant? Because, you know, there's that peanut in the shell. Do you plant just the seed portion? Like, what exactly do you plant?
Exactly. So, in the fall, the best peanuts in the area, excuse me, will get saved. You know, they're graded. They know what kind of conditions they've been through. They treat them just a little bit gentler than they do the peanuts that are going for food to preserve the germination, to preserve the integrity of the seed. So we'll keep those throughout the winter. In the springtime, they'll shell those peanuts. They put a seed treatment on the outside of the peanuts, so now the peanuts are out of the shell. The shell's been removed. Excuse me, the husks are still on there. They'll put some treatment on there to help with seedling diseases and things like that.
Wait, the husk is on, but the casing has been removed? That's hard to do.
Correct. Yeah, it is hard to do.
Okay, all right.
But it works out, and then, you know, you just take good care of those peanuts. They're very expensive. Used to, and this is one of those things where technology's helped us, or, you know, people with good ideas have helped us move forward. You know, used to, peanut seed was in 50-pound bags. Well, in a day's time, you can easily plant 4 or 5 tons worth of peanut seed. So that's a whole lot of lifting 50-pound bags at the time and pouring it into the planter. Now we have what are called seed tenders that are on trailers that we pull along behind our trucks. And those trailers have big hoppers on them that can hold 6 tons or so of peanut seed. And it has a little conveyor coming out of the bottom with a spout on the end of it that dumps over into your peanut planter. And it has a remote control and everything on it. So now, you know, used to you'd have to have a couple of people out there helping you plant peanuts just strictly to help you load up with seed when you get to the end. Now it's you just wheel up there, put the seed tender over it, hit a remote control, and load your planters up, and you're off again. It's turned it, you know, from about a 3-man job into a 1-man job.
And is that all, like, I mean, you've got a planter that's doing this based on GPS and running the rows just like everything else?
That's correct. So our planters are extremely high precision in everything that we do now. You know, used to you would, another interesting fact is, you know, used to you might just say, I'm going to plant 150 pounds of seed per acre. Well, the seed sizes are different for the different varieties. So if you plant 150 pounds of one seed or one variety, and you change varieties and you're still trying to plant 150 pounds of the other seed, you might be planting a whole lot more or a whole lot fewer seed per acre. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the seed size.
Right, because weight is not the same as number of seeds. Right, okay.
Right. So what you really want is seed per foot. So we're planting twin rows, which means instead of there just being one single row, like on corn or cotton or something like that, we have what are called twin row planters that plant two rows about 8 inches apart. And then those rows are set 36 inches apart. But the two rows next together, you'll have a total of about 3 seed in each one of those little rows to make one row that has 6 seed per foot. So that equals out in math terms to about, we plant about 87,000 seed per acre. I know it's complicated.
No, that's good. It's fast. I'm trying to picture the whole thing. And actually, Jenkins Farms in Jay, Florida. Okay, so what I'm stuck on is the double row planting concept, because to me, you know, like you plant cotton in a single row, you plant corn in a single row, you're planting a double row slightly separated from like a double seam on a dress or something, but it's then got 36 inches from that to the next row. I'm assuming a lot of times you do this stuff because, like, the design of the harvester or to maximize yield and some balance of all that together. What's the reason for that way of doing things?
The whole maximizing yield drives everything.
Okay.
So maximizing yield, being able to, instead of planting 6 seed per foot, you know, that'd be one every 2 inches, right, in one row.
Yep.
You're able to spread it out over a little bit wider surface area. So the roots have a little bit more space to work in. The plants aren't so confined there. It helps cover the ground a lot faster in those twin rows, which means less weed pressure, less losing moisture to the environment. I mean, there are all kind of reasons that the twin row and the peanut just. And when I started farming, there were no twin row peanuts. When I started farming, it was all single row. This is something that's come along just since I've been farming, and it's really, really made a difference in yield and the way we're able to care for our crops.
Interesting. So that's all in the category of like how things change and improve. And like you said, I wouldn't have thought of any of that stuff in terms of the coverage or the retaining of moisture or all things that matter once you explain them. But things I wouldn't have, as I said, I didn't think of those as the explanation. We always like to end, Ryan, with a farm fact. You got a farm fact for us this week?
I do. Since we're talking about peanuts and peanut butter are naturally cholesterol free. And of course, for the GMO people out there, they're non-GMO as well. So they're a heart-healthy snack, a heart-healthy food. Eat them up. Y'all eat more peanuts, please. My family's depending on it.
I love it.
I'm doing my part every day, brother. Every day I grab my dry-roasted peanuts. I eat a couple. I think I'm helping Ryan. I'm doing my part. Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farm.
One other thing.
Yeah, go on.
I was going to get a J traffic report. Everything's flowing smoothly.
That was good.
Well, everything's flowing smoothly unless you got a spreader or a picker or.
That's right. Unless you get behind me, and it's flowing smoothly for me, but it might not be for you.
It's flowing smoothly, but not necessarily rapidly.
Smooth like peanut butter.
There you go.
Ryan Jenkins, always a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you again next month.
Y'all have a great week.
We will. Thanks, brother. 750 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And look, if you got any kind